NASCAR on Prime lights up Music City. Who's got what it takes to tackle the concrete at Nashville Super Speedway and walk away with NASCAR's coolest trophy? Stream the NASCAR Cup Series at Nashville, Sunday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, where music meets motorsports, only on Prime.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Paddock Project. It's like 11 p.m. in Monaco. I should be out partying, celebrating Lando's win, but had to recap it because that is what I love to do. So here I am with you all. I honestly cannot believe, I still can't believe that I'm here. Monaco has been such a bucket list item, race, experience since I got into the sport, since I started the podcast. So to do it in this way, spending the weekend at the Red Bull Energy Station, watching from the grandstands, looking into the pit lane and the garages, going into the Red Bull garage, something I will never forget. So thank you to you all for listening, for making this happen. Thank you to Pepe Jeans. Thank you to Alice. Thank you to Red Bull for the best weekend. I am truly speechless, but we have a lot to talk about. It was an amazing weekend and I cannot wait to recap it with you all. So a couple things. We'll dive into news heading into the weekend. We'll dive into the sort of in-person experience. And then, of course, we'll get into the racing itself. So stick around for that. But yeah, not a ton of news heading into the weekend. The main thing was that the drivers were shown a special screening of the F1 movie, which is coming out in June, as a reminder, starring Brad Pitt, and big involvement from Lewis and a lot of the grid. A lot of them called it very Hollywood, but had positive things to say about it. I think a couple of drivers even just mentioned their own cameos in the show being exciting. So I'm excited to see it. I'm honestly surprised Brad Pitt didn't show up to Monaco himself, just given the movie is coming out so soon and it's such a marquee weekend, especially for celebrities. So surprising there. But it was really fun to see the F1 movie trailer in French throughout the circuit. They were playing that a lot, which was very cool. Other piece of minor news was that it was Adrian Newey's first weekend in green. He was here with Aston Martin for the first time on track, which is very exciting. They were displaying his hypercar in the Red Bull Energy Station, which of course was his last project with Red Bull, the RB17. It's an insane car, very cool to see it in person. And even Fernando Alonso came to check it out, which was cool. I posted a video of him checking it out on TikTok if you all are on there and are following that, but super cool to see. But yeah, let's dive into the experience of Monaco, because I honestly did not know what to expect before coming. And I feel like my opinions and my expectations of it beforehand were just vastly surpassed having been here. I think it obviously helped that I spent the entire time at the Red Bull Energy Station and then watched all the racing sessions from the grandstands, looking into the garages, looking into the pit lane. That was so cool. But space is at a premium in Monaco, and so there's not a lot of it. I can't believe they pack an entire race weekend, an entire grid here in Monaco. It's very small. It's sort of like a postage stamp. And so it's actually crazy. Like, there's not a lot of room in the paddock. There's not a lot of team hospitality. And so the fact that Red Bull has this massive energy station, it is the place to be in Monaco. I think many of you have probably seen the pictures of the pool dives when Daniel Ricciardo has won, when Sergio Perez won. There are a lot of iconic Red Bull pool dives that have happened in Monaco, but it was so cool to be at the energy station there in person. And it's just surrounded by the yachts and the harbor and the hills and the mountains. And it's just so beautiful. I think that's one thing I didn't necessarily expect about Monaco, was how incredibly naturally beautiful it is. I sort of think of Monaco as just a place for yachts and wealthy people and, you know, Charles Leclerc. but it's got incredible, incredible nature and so many amazing, cool things. So really surpassed my expectation. And one thing that was really cool, it's obviously, you know, so close to France, so close to Italy. And so the announcing at the race was in Italian, French, and English. They were sort of switching back and forth between the three the entire time. So very, very cool. But I'm going to walk through sort of day by day what I did, who I saw, the whole thing, and then we'll get into the racing, which may have left something to be desired. But first off, starting on Thursday, got here, had a nice time sort of just like exploring the principality, going out to dinner and to drinks. We went to Bar American, which was sort of a famous historical place, I guess, in the city. Yeah, it was more just sort of getting a lay of the land on Thursday. And then Friday, of course, it was just practice sessions, but sort of got a feel for what Monaco was like, walked around the sort of centre-ville, like downtown, which is very cool. I saw Dorian Pain in Starbucks, which was amazing. Was not expecting her to be there, but very cool just to see her kind of in her natural habitat. Obviously, she speaks French, although she's not from Monaco itself, but super cool to see her. And then went to the Red Bull Energy Station, which so cool. I got to see the behind the scenes of the F1 TV pre-practice show. So with Laura Winter, Lawrence Barreto, and Ruth Buscombe. So amazing to see. They only had a 4-person crew with them. And it's just obviously we see this on TV, and I'm so used to watching F1 TV and the pre-race and the pre-practice and the pre-quali shows and things like that. But so cool to actually see it behind the scenes. I got to see them doing warm-ups, rehearsing some of the lines, just very cool to see what goes into sort of putting on a show. And I actually got to see a lot of the behind the scenes broadcasts this weekend, not just for F1 TV, but for Sky Sports, ESPN, a lot of different networks who are out there, because again, everything is so small in Monaco that a lot of the broadcasts and stuff don't happen in the paddock, don't happen in the pit lane or the garages or, you know, kind of in that area. It's all happening in the harbor around. So right where the energy station is situated, which is right next to the paddock and by the paddock club. And then you have to walk a little bit to get to the pit lane and the garages and things like that. But all of the broadcasters seem to be wanting to do things around, in and around the Red Bull Energy Station, which just tells you it was kind of the place for Monaco. It is the place for Monaco. So that was cool. I'm going to do a whole video about the broadcast and the behind the scenes that I saw, because I saw a lot and it was really fascinating. It seems like a lot of kind of waiting. Obviously, we only see what is broadcast live on TV and they're in the zone and they're doing it. But before that and after that, there's a lot of time just sort of like sitting around waiting to be live, preparing, et cetera, et cetera. They have to kind of be in place for a long time before things actually air. So lots to talk about and show there, which was awesome. Also on Friday, there were a lot of people coming in and out of the Red Bull Energy Station. What is crazy about the Red Bull Energy Station in Monaco is that the team hospitality is inside it. So like Christian Horner's office, the driver rooms, Yuki and Max and Liam and Isaac Hadjar were kind of coming in and out all the time, which is wild. Like the Red Bull Energy Station, as you can guess from the name, a lot of energy, a lot of things going on, a lot of music, a lot of dancing. Like, I don't know how these drivers and team members focus in their hospitality as we're kind of just there as people and enjoying the race. Like, they're there to do a job, they're there to work. And it's kind of crazy to me that their hospitality is inside there, but cool for us to be able to see. I think I saw Max like maybe 15 times this weekend, which is the most I've definitely ever seen him at a race ever, or just in general in life. So that was awesome. I also got to see Yuki and his parents, who are so cute. I am obsessed with them. But yeah, so that was Friday. Obviously, I got to watch the practice sessions, did that from the grandstands, which was really cool. And then Saturday started off the day with going into the Red Bull garage, walking through the sort of pit lane and seeing everything, seeing them prepare for FP3 and then quali. And I think many people have heard this before, but the Red Bull garage atmosphere is unlike any other team. They're blasting techno. It's just, it feels like a pump up zone. They were explaining what they were doing to the car, and they were explaining some of the different tools and cameras and things that they use, which I'll do some videos about that on social media as well. But really fun to see all of Max and Yuki's mechanics and engineers sort of in there getting prepped for practice and quali on the Saturday, and just cool to see all the music happening and the vibes and all of that. Then in between that and practice and quali, walked around town a little bit. It was pretty easy to get in and out, although it definitely is packed. So be warned if you come to Monaco at any point. It is like any race, any Grand Prix, the logistics can be tough, but it is nice to be able to walk everywhere because Monaco is so small. Then went back to the Red Bull Energy Station, saw Max and Isaac Hadjar both speak, saw a bunch of different sightings. Like I said, Yuki's parents were there. I saw the guy from Squid Games, the main actor from Squid Games, which was so cool. And then watched quali from the grandstands. And after that, came back to the Red Bull Energy Station. Saturday night Energy Station party is like the biggest in Monaco. It was so cool. It felt like so many journalists, so many F1 employees were there, not in their uniforms. Like they had all changed. They had all like, you know, come back into their normal beings, so to speak, to come just enjoy the Saturday night in Monaco. And from the Red Bull Energy Station, I was looking down into the harbor and you can see all the drivers leaving on their yacht. So I saw Lewis leave on his yacht to go back home, I assume, and, you know, into the harbor. And I just cannot believe that that is the commute in Monaco. Like you go from a dock to a yacht to wherever your home is. And it was just very cool. So that was awesome. Spent a lot of time at the Red Bull Energy Station at night and the pool, of course. There were amazing, sort of like great Gatsby-esque dancers. There was a live saxophone player, just drinks and food galore, like everything. It was just so cool. And it's a big thing for sponsors to be there. What I had heard is that in Monaco, there used to be this massive Thursday night party for all of the paddock. And I think it was at the Red Bull Energy Station. But I think it's turned more into sort of a sponsor event, sponsor party for the people who are spending a lot of money in this sport. And so Saturday night felt a little bit more maybe like a sponsor party with some journalists and some other employees in the mix there. But yeah, definitely maybe not the full like paddock party that used to happen on the Thursday. So yeah, then ended up on a yacht at night, which was very cool. Walked past Lawrence Stroll's yacht as well, which is massive. I've never seen anything like it. He was definitely there. I saw him and saw some other people on the boat and everything. Obviously did not really go near it, but got to walk by it, which was very cool. And on the way to the yachts, you have to kind of walk through the track, which it's crazy to me that they open the track after quali that night before the race, because La Rascasse is this kind of party place where a lot of people go right on the track. And I don't know how they allow this, but like everybody's spilling onto the track, everybody's partying, everybody's drinking, everybody's doing whatever. And they clean that up in between the night and the next day. And it's not just at 3 p.m. for the race, the F1 race. It's like there's F2 beforehand. There are other things beforehand, which there was a lot of chaos in the F2 race. But it's just crazy to me that they open that back up. And not only just for cars, but for people to party and do the whole thing. So that was crazy. And then Sunday, mostly just kind of race, woke up late, had a nice lunch, and then walked down to the track, which was buzzing. I was curious if Saturday or Sunday was going to feel more packed, because obviously Saturday is like the big event in Formula One. Monaco qualifying is one of the best events of the year because that is usually what dictates what happens in the Sunday race, just knowing how big the cars are these days and how hard it is to pass. But wow, it was actually packed. I would say even more packed on Sunday, I would guess, but it was just buzzing the entire weekend. It was beautiful weather the entire weekend. I know in the past several years it's rained a few times in Monaco, which very glad that did not happen, but it was hot. It was a lot hotter than it probably even looked on TV when you're just sitting in the grandstands and you're just sort of like baking in this heat, but so fun. What else can I say about Sunday? So I thought what was cool was that we've heard about this. We saw that Carlos Sainz got fined for being just like a couple minutes late to the national anthem. And you can hear the announcements because we were sitting by the garages and by the pit lane. You can hear the announcements of 2 minutes, drivers. Hopefully you are all situated on your way to the national anthem. Like they're making these announcements about the national anthem to the drivers in particular, because they all have to be in their position for that start time, like ready to go. And so you can see all these drivers kind of buzzing in and out, going on their scooters, sprinting over to the national anthem and to the start line and the grid. And that to me was kind of funny to see because yeah, you got to keep these drivers in line to get where they need to go at all times. So that was a lot of the experience. I think my overall thoughts on Monaco, honestly, way better than I even expected. It wasn't like I was expecting it to be bad or anything like that, but I didn't really know what to expect. I had just known that, you know, there's a lot. It's this huge storied event on the F1 calendar, but it's quite controversial because it doesn't produce great racing. And I just sort of thought it would be a lot of really wealthy people. And I didn't expect even the natural beauty of it all and how kind everybody was. I think my family used to live in Paris for 3 years, and nothing against the French or the Parisians, but I will say Monaco, the Monégasque, are so kind and friendly. Everybody, all the servers we had, all the restaurants we went to, all the bars, like everybody, even just like the police and the people kind of helping out and the security, everybody just was so friendly. And we were also staying up in Beausoleil, which is more of like a residential area of Monaco, which is beautiful because it's walking distance and it's super nice, but definitely felt very residential, which was cool. Like I wasn't necessarily expecting that vibe. So loved it. One thing we also did on Friday was go to the Musée Océanographique, which is the ocean museum on the water. And it's 100 out of 10. If you ever go to Monaco, this is my number one recommendation for you all. Go to this museum. It is one of my favorite places ever. It is so cool. Big into sustainability, as many of you who've listened to the podcast probably know. I have the Planet Paddock series where I dive into all things sustainability and motorsport. But it was really cool to see all these different sort of treasures and scientific discoveries about the ocean and how much has gone into both discovery and protection. So highly, highly recommend. It's right on the water. It's beautiful. What else can I say about Monaco? Like any Grand Prix weekend, I think you have to figure out the rules, the quirks, how to navigate it. But once you do, it's really amazing. And I can only imagine how peaceful it is during normal times. So I think I would love to come back, not during the Grand Prix weekend. Not that I didn't have the most amazing time, but I think it would be really cool to see this place not during the chaos. Now, let's dive into the racing. I did get a lot of questions from you all on Instagram, which I'll go through, some sort of experience questions, some racing questions, but I will get to those. But first, a quick in case you missed it. So for the racing, a lot of the track was resurfaced. Pirelli also brought the softest range of tires, which is one step softer than last year. It was the C6, which made its debut last weekend at Imola, and it's new this year, and people didn't really seem to like it in Imola. And I would say Monaco was not so different. It wasn't really used much in Monaco, but with the two mandatory pit stops, it felt like we were primed for some chaos and some action, but it didn't really pan out that way. So starting with practice, Charles had an incredible practice sweep. FP1, Stroll did cause Leclerc to crash, which brought out a red flag, and he got a grid penalty later for that. FP2, Ollie Berman got a 10-place grid penalty for overtaking under the red flag, and then FP3, Lewis brought out the red flag. So there was a decent amount of chaos in practice. It just sort of felt like it was building to something crazy. And then quali. So Lando Norris took pole at sort of the last second, beating out Charles, who we were almost certain to have gotten pole, but did not get it. Lando nabbed it with a 109, which was a circuit record. People couldn't believe that he had broke the 110s, which was so cool. So it was Lando, then Charles, and then Piastri in P3. Hamilton, unfortunately, was hit with a 3-place grid drop for impeding Max, which was just an unfortunate situation. And Lewis apologized to Max, but it was really, I thought, the strategy and the team's fault there, unfortunately. So that was quali. And then for the race, I think despite two mandatory pit stops, there was not a ton of action besides two DNFs, Gasly and Alonso, which was Very unfortunate. Alonso was so close to his first points this season, but had to retire due to an issue, just smoke coming out of the back of the car. We actually saw it and we smelled it, which was crazy. So before he retired, we could smell it as he was coming around turn 18. Gasly also unfortunately had to retire, but not much other action. I really don't think there were any real overtakes besides Gabriel Bortoleto on the first lap as he passed, I think it was Kimi, and then just drove into the wall. As he said, Kimi kind of pushed him off. So that was a bummer. And then the main highlight was just the battle between Lando and Charles at the end there. Charles was breathing down his neck so close. I think if he had been at any other track besides Monaco, he would have gotten the overtake done, but there was really no ability for him to get by unless he did some crazy lunge, which probably would have jeopardized either or both of their races. So unfortunately was not able to get that done, but yeah, incredible win for Lando. I think for a lot of other drivers, the race felt very long. People generally seemed kind of frustrated. And there was not a lot of action with the pit stops besides us just waiting for when Max was going to do his last pit stop and then when Mercedes was going to make their first pit stop, which was crazy. They really saved it for the last minute. And Mercedes, we'll talk about in a bit, but just had a tough race overall. But even if it wasn't the best racing or the best on TV, I will say the vibe was just absolutely top-notch. It was magnetic. It was so fun to be there. Everybody was cheering so loudly for Charles, of course, as he came around and was so close to Lando. And everybody was really happy for Lando as well. I think people are big fans of Lando here too. So for my MVP of the race, I do feel like I have to give it to Lando. He got pole with the circuit record, as I mentioned. He got the fastest lap on the last lap, which was insane. Even the broadcasters were like, he did not have to do that. That is crazy. I was watching his mom watch the entire race, essentially, because we were standing or sitting right across from the garages and the team hospitality there, which is where Jeff Bezos was sitting, which is where all the parents of the teams were sitting. And because McLaren, they line up in the pit lane, they line up in order of last year's constructors. So it was McLaren, then Ferrari, then Red Bull, then Mercedes. So I had a really good line of sight into both the McLaren and the Ferrari garages and the people kind of sitting and watching above. And so I watched Lando's mom for a lot of it, which was so fun. She seemed a little nervous, and so did all of the mechanics in the garage and the pit crew as they were watching Charles just breathe down Lando's neck. But huge for Lando. I think my mom and I both made a bet at the beginning of the weekend on what the podium was going to be, and we both said Lando was going to win. And then I said Charles second and Max third, and she said Max second and Charles third. So I got 2 out of 3, and I really felt like this was going to be a good comeback weekend for Lando. It's sort of the quasi home race for a lot of these drivers, but Lando in particular, I think, has had a little bit of a tougher go since the beginning of the season. And he's been compared a lot to Oscar, and Oscar has shown some mistakes and some flaws. He had an amazing save avoiding one of the barriers this race. But yeah, I just felt really happy for Lando that he pulled through and was able to just confidently kind of sweep the weekend with the quali and the fastest lap and the race win, of course. Another couple MVPs I want to give a shout out to is Isaac Hadjar, qualifying fifth as a rookie and then finishing in the points and doing so well, I think was just amazing for him. I know we've mostly talked about Kimi as the star rookie so far this season, but I think Isaac Hadjar is definitely second to Kimi in that sense. And he really proved his worth this weekend in Monaco. And I know sometimes Monaco can just feel kind of random, but it is amazing when drivers can pull out an amazing result because it is a really hard track. It's tight, it's windy, it's technical. And so good on Isaac Hadjar for being able to do that. And then the sort of joke MVP that I want to shout out is Max's 1972 radio, which I loved that F1 posted that radio, that like voiceover with footage of, I think it was F1, footage of the 1972 Monaco Grand Prix. But Max was basically like, my shifts feel like 1972. And I think it was GP on the radio who was like, okay, Max. So funny. I'm going to the Monaco Grand Prix this month and I'm beyond excited, but to really get the most out of it, I felt like I've needed to improve my French language. I've been using Rosetta Stone, which gives you the confidence to connect with locals and experience cultures more authentically. One of the hardest things can be perfecting pronunciation, but Rosetta Stone has built-in true accent speech recognition technology that provides real-time feedback, which has helped me sound much more natural. It's like having a personal language coach guiding your accent every step of the way. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Paddock Project listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/today to get started and claim your 50% off today. Don't miss out. Go to rosettastone.com/today and start learning today. Has the last F1 race got your stress levels through the roof? It might actually not be Ferrari strategy or papaya rules. It might actually be your hormones. That's where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy. Just answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you're at in life. And the best part, after taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. I personally took the quiz, and one of the recommendations I got was to start Hormone Harmony, which helps with bloating, fatigue, weight gain, and more. And after adding it to my routine, I've definitely noticed a difference. So ready to start feeling like yourself again? Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code PADDOCKPROJECT at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code PADDOCKPROJECT for 15% off today.
NASCAR on Prime lights up Music City. Who's got what it takes to tackle the concrete at Nashville Super Speedway and walk away with NASCAR's coolest trophy? Stream the NASCAR Cup Series at Nashville, Sunday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, where music meets motorsports, only on Prime.
For my LVP, I think I have to give it to Mercedes in the strategy. It just felt like what in the world was happening with them this weekend. It felt like they, in the race, had forgotten that they needed to pit twice. It was just kind of a weird race for them after a bad qualifying on Saturday. And it had felt like they had almost thrown in the towel before it even started. It seemed like they were kind of waiting for a safety car to come, but they hadn't. I could be wrong on the numbers here, but I don't think they had pitted Kimi once by like lap 72, which is insane. Like, what in the world was that? And also the incident with George and Albon, and George kind of being salty on the radio saying that he'll just take the penalty instead of giving the position back because Albon was driving erratically. And then the "I prefer not to speak" radio. There was just a lot of frustration with Mercedes this weekend. And I think hopefully just a blip, a little bit of a blip in the radar, because they've had a great season thus far. And Monaco, again, can be a little random for certain things. But yeah, it was a bummer not to see Mercedes do better. For my hot take this race, I said it was going to be a back-to-back Charles home win, which was not to be, but it was very close and it was his best result of the season. So happy with that at least, although again, the hot take does not come true. So to get into some of the race discussion points, you guys sent in a bunch of really good questions. I think first one to talk about, which is, it was definitely the topic of conversation for everyone, was, do you think the 2 pit stop strategy made for a more exciting race? This is from Wendy MC4, along with a few others. Alas, no. Besides it keeping us on our toes for when Max and the Mercedes were finally going to pit, it actually didn't really do much at all. And it felt kind of random, which was not my expectation going into the weekend. I really thought it was going to be more of a game changer than it was. And it just wasn't. And I don't know. I've loved being here at Monaco for this weekend and this experience, but the racing, tough. And having to kind of force 2 pit stops and even that not working, questionable. So no, I don't think it made for a more exciting race, unfortunately, besides just kind of keeping us on our toes and being vigilant about when people were pitting and knowing that people had to pit again. I almost feel like it maybe took away from some of the potential tire management that could have happened. Like, what if Max, for example, didn't have to pit again. Lando and Charles were catching up to him, and by the time he had pitted the second time, there was like less than a second gap. So they were definitely gaining on him, and I don't think he would have been able to stay on those tires. But maybe strategy would have been different, and Max would have only needed to do one stop, and maybe he would have ended up on podium instead. And so I actually think the two pit stops didn't do much, and maybe even took away from some of the potential tire management that could have happened. But that's all speculation. It's hard to really know what would have gone down. But no, I don't actually think it delivered what I was hoping it would. Sort of a related question is, why do we still have Monaco when it's undeniably the most boring race of the season? This is from EKberg. It's a good question. It's the crown jewel on the Formula One calendar for a reason. It's the most historic race. It is the most iconic. It serves a purpose in the calendar. Just having been here and seen the vibe and seeing the excitement and seeing all the incredible people who come to this, both celebrities and otherwise, I think there is a reason that this race exists. And maybe not every race has to deliver the same amount of on-track entertainment that others do. But I do agree that there needs to be something changed at some point to make this just a little bit more exciting from a racing perspective, because I think even the drivers were pretty tired. And I think it was Isaac Hadjar who was saying, like, man, I just had to like push a little harder to make it even more entertaining for myself because it was feeling long and kind of boring. And so I think there does need to be something, and they tried the two pit stop thing. I'm glad they did. It didn't necessarily deliver what we expected it to, but I appreciate the effort to kind of keep it exciting and fun while recognizing the fact that this is one of the most important races on the calendar and the most historic for a reason. And I recognize that not a lot of people are going to get to go to a Monaco Grand Prix, so maybe it's not worth keeping a race just for the crazy celebrities who get to come to a race like this. But I do think it has such a special place in Formula One's history and Formula One's story. I mean, most of the drivers live here, which is not necessarily a reason to have a race here. But I think couple that with the history of it and just how intertwined it is with Formula One, it's hard to picture getting rid of it anytime soon. So I hope they can kind of make tweaks around the edges and keep it fun and keep the racing exciting as we go forward. But no, I hope we don't. I don't want to get rid of Monaco, especially now that I've been here and seen a lot of the magic in person. Next question on the racing is opinions on the George situation, not wanting to pit, not caring about the penalty. This is from Natalie Crusaru. This was kind of wild, especially because George and Albon are pretty good friends. So basically George said that Albon was driving erratically, braking dangerously. So he drove through, passed Albon off track, got the drive-through penalty and said that he didn't care about the penalty and didn't want to give the position back. And then Kimi basically did the same thing, did end up giving the position back because I don't think Mercedes wanted to drive through penalties there. But yeah, that was kind of wild. I think Albon could have driven a little bit more fairly, but I think this was maybe more reflective of just the drivers, especially George, being frustrated by the weekend they were having. What I was saying before about how Mercedes kind of felt like it was throwing in the towel before things had even started. And so, yeah, that was an unfortunate situation, but I laughed at George Russell's Instagram caption saying that dinner was on Albano tonight. So pretty funny. I'm sure they're just fine, but funny to see. One more question, I think, about racing, and then a couple more about the experience. So one was, with Williams leading the rest, will they have any upgrades to the car, or are they switching over to 2026 from Jacob Lane 97? This is a good question, and I don't know. I imagine there will be upgrades as we go through, especially the European swing. It's a little bit easier to bring upgrades throughout the summer, but I do think they're probably definitely focused on 2026. And I'm actually amazed with the step forward that Williams has taken so far this season, just given the fact that they probably have been focused on 2026 and 2025 is a little bit of a throwaway year. Although if I were them in the team and you've just signed this incredible star driver in Carlos Sainz, you'd want to kind of keep him happy and make sure that you're delivering a car that is at least in the realm of points on occasion. And I think Williams has over-delivered on that front. And I think someone commented on the fact that double Williams points on the Paddock Project bingo cards almost doesn't feel like a hot take anymore, because It's happened several times, and Albon seems to be consistently in the points almost every weekend. I think Williams will continue to bring stuff around the edges, but if I were them, I would imagine that they're really focused on 2026 moving forward. Another question. I really want to go. Do you have any suggestions for us not lucky enough to be in with a team from Toots NYC? Now, I don't think you have to be in with a team to go to Monaco for sure. There are incredible grandstands, but I will say Monaco is definitely one of the harder races, one of the more expensive races. It's hard to get to. It's really hard to find a place to stay. Tickets are incredibly expensive. It definitely brings kind of a certain clientele that they know they can kind of overcharge for a lot of things. And so keeping all of that in mind, I do think there's a way to do Monaco, not, you know, without the level of access that a lot of, say, celebrities might have. I think if you're there to just kind of watch the racing and enjoy the town and see it, like 100% go. That we saw people kind of dotted all over the hills watching from different balconies. And yeah, of course, like the balconies, I'm sure, you know, you have to either know someone or pay to get into those. But there were a lot of people kind of watching over the hills and seeing all the racing. It definitely seems possible to do Monaco without necessarily having that level of access. But I will say, if it's your first race ever, maybe, you know, choose something else, especially if you're there to watch the racing. Question from Delos Diaz DCM. How do the Monegasque live with the race weekend? Do they go all out? Do they flee the tourists? That's a funny question. It's really interesting because I had thought about that before coming here, of like, are there going to be any Monegasque people here? And the answer is yes, there are a lot. Like, we are staying up in the residential area more so, and it's sort of life as normal up here. I'm sure if you live sort of closer, or even if you don't live that much closer and you just kind of want to escape the craziness, a lot of people do leave. But I've been surprised with the number of locals and people just kind of living their life as normal here. Like, the place we went to lunch today was packed with just local people, mostly elderly local people, which was very cool to see and to be a part of. And so, yeah, there were more locals here than I thought there would be. I thought everyone would just sort of like escape, but no, lots of people here. And I'm sure some of those people absolutely love Grand Prix weekend, even if they know that things are going to be harder, but it's only about a weekend. So, okay. And now for the standings, we have Oscar Piastri at 161, Lando Norris at 158. So only 3 points apart, Max Verstappen at 136. So a bit of a drop there, but still within about a race of distance. George Russell with 99, Charles Leclerc with 79, Lewis Hamilton with 63, Kimi Antonelli with 48, Alex Albon 42, Esteban Ocon 20, and Isaac Hadjar 15. So that is your top 10. Isaac has knocked Stroll out of the top 10. And then for constructors, we have McLaren with 319, Mercedes all the way back with 147, but still in second place. Red Bull is coming up on its heels at 143 in third, and then Ferrari 142. So it's very, very tight for the second, third, and fourth place. Williams 54, Haas 26, Racing Bulls 22, Aston Martin 14, Alpine 7, and Kick Sauber 6. So those are your standings. We are heading to the final stop of this triple header in Barcelona next weekend, and it's probably our last year in Barcelona for some time. As a reminder, Madrid is coming on the calendar in 2026, so we will at least see a pause for Barcelona. I think it's going to be more of a classic track, probably more action. It will be a really fun race to watch. Barcelona is always a good vibe. And for my hot takes, I think I'm going to go with two. Number one, I'm going to say Franco Colapinto gets points. We have not seen a lot from him on his re-debut, so to speak, in Formula One, but I want him to perform well. Barcelona could be a good way to kickstart maybe some more points in Formula One. I did just see him tonight on a balcony waving at a lot of fans, and people were going crazy. And I'm going to say Lewis on podium, which is hot, but here we go. All right. Well, thank you all. I know it was just me this week, but it was so fun to recount this experience and so cool to be in Monaco. I'm so grateful for the experience. Again, thank you, Red Bull. Thank you, Pepe Jeans. Thank you, Alice, for everything. And one reminder before next week is that the F1 Academy docuseries drops so soon on the 28th. It's going to be amazing. I've only seen the first episode, but I am dying to watch the rest. So hopefully you will binge that on Netflix as soon as it is out. And of course, I will be talking about it. And I have an interview with Leah Block dropping on Thursday as well to get everybody excited about F1 Academy. So lots to chat about. But I will talk to you after Barcelona. Thanks for listening.
NASCAR on Prime lights up Music City. Who's got what it takes to tackle the concrete at Nashville Super Speedway and walk away with NASCAR's coolest trophy? Stream the NASCAR Cup Series at Nashville, Sunday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, where music meets motorsports, only on Prime.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.